Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Woo! A Thursday morning with the Morning Scramble. Claire, producer Ben.
Hello.
Holding down the fort as finally, I believe I have confirmation that Eric Hansen is in a plane and he's headed home.
He's in the plane?
I believe that they are mid-flight. It was like, you know, you got to get from Puerto Rico to Chicago and then Chicago to home. I think that's it's either mid-flight on that one or they were in an airport.
I think he's going to have a nice long layover in Chicago, though.
Yes. I believe there's some downtime, but that's at least closer.
At least he'll be like not on the other side of an ocean.
Right. And if worse comes to worse, I mean, like a drive home from Chicago, you rent a car. It's not terrible, right?
Yeah.
They're going to make it. The end is near. Meanwhile, you and I are holding down the fort today. I'm glad that we were able to check in with Dancing Eric Hansen while he was kind of trapped in Puerto Rico for the time being. Because he was able to deputize you yesterday for Jury in a Hurry this morning.
He swore me in.
And it was like more official than I remember my swearing in as a radio lawyer. Don't you feel like you have like...
You got sworn in?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. If history... It'll reflect in history. I don't remember it specifically, but you
hopefully
know.
I dressed okay for court. I've never been in court before. I've been on the other side of glass.
You've been in like actual court, but in radio court, this is a whole different thing, right?
I've never been in either, I don't think.
Neither?
No.
You've never been like been a juror?
I've gotten the thing in the mail saying, hey, watch out, you might need to do jury duty. But then
they didn't
call
you.
I've never needed to go.
Wow, Ben. It's coming for you.
Seriously? I do want to try that.
I think you would be an excellent juror, number one. I think you'd just be so responsible and take it very seriously and, like, do the job really, really well. But I can't believe it hasn't come for you yet. I feel like right out of the gate, it was like, you're an adult here, jury service.
The only thing I can think of is, since I live in Iowa County, I mean, you might be more likely to have to serve in Linn County because it's bigger.
True. Bigger population. Yep. Maybe. Yeah, more cases. Huh.
I'm not sure, though.
And Bath & Body Works was rolling out a brand new candle. And a lot of times it's like when you're in the scent industry, you just got to try a couple of things because you can only have so many like, you know, floral scented candles, floral scented lotions and soaps, like boring, right? Let's branch out. Let's try something different. And they did. They tried pizza and ranch candle.
That'd be good.
You think, huh?
I love pizza and I love ranch. I can eat ranch on literally anything.
I don't know. I mean, I agree. I love both of those foods, right? They taste delicious. But if you can't eat them and you just smell them, what's that experience like? Well, according to People Magazine, they had to discontinue this candle because people would come in the store like, oh, I can't wait to smell that new candle. I love pizza. I love ranch. Mm-hmm. Let me try this candle. They would smell it and they would start gagging. Just immediate gag reflex when you smell. How bad did this candle smell, right? We should have had some indication, though. The description said it was gooey cheese. Do you really want your house to smell like gooey cheese? You know, that kind of cheese is a mold, man.
Yeah, I can see that.
And ranch and crisp pepperoncinis. Those were the notes in this candle. So I think there's just maybe a lot. Maybe it's too complex.
I guess you light the candle and then people come over and they're like, where's the pizza?
Did you make pizza? I know. Does it smell like a lot of realtors when they're selling homes? They'll bake cookies. Or then I've seen people like with a cookie scented candle.
I've had a cookie scented candle before, and I like the smell of like a sugar cookie candle.
Exactly. It's comforting. It's warm. It's homey. Apparently, I guess pizza and ranch doesn't do the same thing for us, which I would think it would be comforting.
But I'll stick to eating it.
Just eat it. People are saying it made them gag when they would go in and smell it. So it's sold out currently on the website. Like people without smelling it in real life bought it. But people who were purchasing it in store did not like it at all. There's videos of people, you know, TikToks of kids going in, smelling it. Not a huge win for them. So I don't think you're going to see a lot more pizza and ranch candles from Bath & Body Works anytime soon.
On to the next idea.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe think about the cookies, right?
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
What's up, producer Ben? What's on your mind?
My cat's always on my mind.
Always thinking about that little guy. Like, once they weasel their way into your heart, just can't help yourself.
I'm worried about his surgeries.
Surgeries? I thought it was just the one surgery because his scorched little tail.
Well, ideally, he would have waited to get neutered, like an extra month.
Oh, that surgery.
That was supposed to be in February, but I had moved that up to be with his tail so that he wouldn't have to recover two different times.
Yeah, just do it all. No, that makes sense.
But I'm just worried because he's going to get his surgeries on Tuesday, and I don't know how I'm going to, like, keep him from, like, being crazy and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, like, you have to take it real easy right after? Do they have, like, a little kitten? Like, usually when a pet has a surgery, it's like, don't lick your stitches. They put that cone of shame on them.
I'm sure he'll have a cone.
Is there a cat cone? Do
I think
cats
so.
Have cones?
I think so.
You got to make one, Ben.
No, I think he'll have a cone. I'm hoping he'll just sleep the whole time. That's Eric, by the way. No, but I
say your cat snores loud.
I feel like he should have like a enclosure or something so that he can't go jumping around on stuff.
Yeah. Well, do you have like I know you guys are brand new to this, but do you have like a pet carrier or a
There's a carrier.
Kennel. You can maybe put him, like, make sure you, when you leave, you go in the carrier. I kennel my dog, and I've never had a dog that I've had to kennel before. And I don't know if it's the same for cats.
He started out sleeping in his kennel a little bit until we got him a bed. But I don't know if he's still used to it. I'm worried about, like, putting him in it on the way to the bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to go in there. I know it's.
But they have,
cramped.
Like, full, like, enclosure, like, I want to say like a playpen, but like it's fully enclosed. So like he wouldn't be able to get out of it. And then that would give him some space. Like you could put a bed in there and his like litter box and some space to move around a little bit without going crazy. You know what I mean?
You need a child's pack and play, basically.
Are those fully enclosed?
Well, you'd have to put something over the top.
Okay.
Because for babies, it's just the sides.
Yeah, I'd be worried about him trying to jump over.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
I don't know if he could.
And cats, you know, claws and they can...
Rip
climb
it?
Climb up and potentially rip it. But if you don't care, who cares, right? Just enclose it.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to look into that.
Or, like, do you have a really small room, like a little closet or something?
Not really a closet. Right now he's still, like, young enough he sleeps in the bathroom. But he can still jump around onto, like, the bathtub and the counter and stuff in there.
Jumped into the toilet. Yeah. That's yep. You know what? Yeah, we got to move this cat out. We got to find a situation for this
I'm just
cat.
Worried about him.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you're going to be. You're going to be worried for weeks afterwards as well as the cat recuperates. Good luck. It's like time and healing and just lots of love, which you have.
I think it's supposed to take like 2 weeks to fully recover.
It'll be okay. Yeah, that seems right. My husband just had surgery. I'm like, yeah, 2 weeks later, he's okay. Yeah, the cat will be fine. And you are going to be the best cat dad. Cat dad Ben.
I hope so.
Yeah, you're gonna be good. I feel bad giving you advice, but because I don't trust me anymore. I know that you are a really tidy person, Ben. Your workspace, if your the production room that you work in is very tidy.
Compare me to Eric.
Night and day. Two very huge differences.
I try to stay organized, and then you look at Eric's desk or his internal like saved stuff and you can't find anything.
File folders and whatnot. Yeah. If you go through Ben's, you can find what you're looking for right away because it's all super organized. But you know, organization can be a struggle, particularly when you have people that are affecting your organization. For me, I try to have a tidy vehicle, but sometimes things go sideways because I've got kids and I'm like, ugh, those dang kids, I got to keep the car tidy. I like to keep things picked up. And yesterday, we had to give one of my kids' friends a ride after practice. And so I was like, well, I better check the back seat because that tends to get a little crazy back
And you
there.
Can't keep an eye on it very well.
No. They put stuff in the door,
right?
You know, bucket thing. And I that just grosses me out. I'm like, yeah, this is disgusting.
But they use candy into the cup holder.
Yes! Stuff like that. They're monsters. So I go back there and I'm cleaning it up. I'm like, oh, these dang kids. And I reach underneath the passenger seat. And Ben, I found a very old, very rotten peach. And then I'm trying to do the math, like, when did I last buy peaches? I don't even remember. I don't know how long this thing has been sitting and rotting in my car. I am disgusting.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
U.S. government updated federal dietary guidelines yesterday, ramping up recommendations for items like beef and full-fat dairy and taking aim at processed foods. And as I'm looking through the list, Ben, the good news is there are no more limits on how much alcohol you should or should not drink.
Really?
Yeah. Dr. Oz just said, don't drink it at breakfast. So thank you. Lots of fruits and vegetables are still recommended, but guidance otherwise flips the old food pyramid over. The federal nutrition guidelines, which are updated every 5 years, steer like school meals, hospital meals, prison meals, military bases, government assistance programs, and directly impacts millions of Americans. So according to this new guidance, American adults should consume 1.2 to 1.6 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight, which is 50 to 100% higher than the previous guidelines. From red meat, poultry, seafood, eggs, dairy, plant sources. The new healthy fat section covers full-fat dairy over low-fat options and recommends cooking with olive oil, butter, and beef tallow. Highly processed carbohydrates like white bread are no for the first time ever. Whole grains are recommended, but they are depicted as the smallest portion of that pyramid. No sugar until age 10. Sorry, kids. That's up from age 2.
Adults, what about like trick-or-treating and stuff?
Tough! Adults should also avoid it in sweeteners, including the aspartame in Diet Coke. So the American Medical Association has approved this, while the American Heart Association has raised some concerns about the guidelines that could lead to the overconsumption of sodium, protein, and saturated fats. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naig is proposing the first ever Iowa Farm Act that includes a wide range of proposals from targeted tax relief promotion of agritourism. He says that it's akin to the state level farm bill and focuses on Iowa's farm economy, on farmers, on the diversity of Iowa's agriculture. There are provisions that affect beekeepers, specialty crop producers, and retired farmers who lent their land, as well as livestock producers, row crop farmers, and agribusinesses. The bill includes some agricultural experience definitions, and in order to boost agritourism, it proposes other regulatory changes and helps first-time farmers diversify. Let's talk about what's got us feeling all right. I think there's a lot of people in this boat where it's like you really appreciate music, you enjoy music, you just don't make beautiful music. Mm-hmm. There's like different kinds of intelligence, and sometimes you're just not you recognize that that's beautiful art that other people are making, but you yourself, you can't play an instrument. You don't know how to sing well. Well, for the first time ever, there's a tuneless choir.
A tuneless choir.
A tuneless choir. A woman in Canada, Vancouver Island, just started not one, but two. You know, go big. If you got an idea, just go for it. You know, it's a bunch of choirs for people who suck at singing. There are a couple in England already. She formed one about 10 months ago. Her name is Sharon. She's led a couple of them. She says that singing is a very powerful thing, even if you can't carry a tune. It's like a lot of the members have joined the choir, have avoided singing for decades because someone told them that they were tone deaf. But if you're singing with a tuneless choir, it doesn't matter. You can just sing your heart out. And she says it's been life-changing for people who join the tuneless choir.
Like us.
We could have.
We sang Mariah Carey in a video for Christmas, and I can safely say the Morning Scramble belongs in the tuneless choir.
We could have our own tuneless trio. Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, I mean, just anybody, if you enjoy singing, and, like, that's spreading holiday cheer, right? Just sing, baby. That's got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Nick Reiner is getting a new legal team. Yesterday, he appeared in a Los Angeles courtroom. His 32-year-old lawyer, Alan Jackson,
Alan Jackson,
announced that he was withdrawing from the case, leaving Nick's case in the hands of a public defender for the time being. So the change in counsel means that Nick's plea was not entered for the two charges of first-degree murder with special circumstance of multiple murders following the deaths of his parents, Rob and Michelle Reiner. His arraignment has been rescheduled now for February 23rd. Afterwards, the family released a statement saying, "We have the utmost trust in the legal process and will not comment further on matters related to the legal proceedings." So it's just a wait until that future court date in February,
okay,
to see how this case moves forward. Matt Damon has achieved a goal that a lot of us only dream about. He returned to his high school weight. Apparently, he weighed 167 pounds back in the day. Hats off to you, Matt Damon. And he did that as part of his role in Christopher Nolan's new film, The Odyssey. He said that he had a beard for like a year and was in really good shape. He lost a lot of weight, and Christopher Nolan wanted him to be really lean but really strong to portray the character. So he's like, "I used to walk somewhere in between 185 to 200 pounds. And then he did the movie and he got it down to 167. He's like, "I have not been that light since high school. It was a lot of training. It was a really strict diet." The biggest change that he made to his diet was that he gave up gluten. And he says he's going to stick with that. He's not going to go back to gluten. He said, "I'm done. It's gluten-free everything for me. I found gluten-free beer that I like. And it's been a long time since I've ever even had gluten. So I can't tell if that's good."
You probably feel a lot better.
Yeah, just kind of clear like things up.
Yeah.
I hope he's not keeping it to 167. That sounds like too small for a man of his stature. I don't know.
Agreed.
That seems very lean, Matt Damon. Very lean. Give yourself a little leeway is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's the end of an era. Matthew McConaughey was a guest on Woody Harrelson and Ted Danson's podcast, Where Everybody Knows Your Name. It's very celebratory. They talk about Cheers. They talk about a little bit of everything. But when they're talking with Matthew McConaughey, of course, they had to talk about the activity that I think a lot of people assume that Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson appreciate together. They like to smoke a little bit of dope together, but Matthew McConaughey says he's not going to do it anymore. He can't keep up with Woody Harrelson. Sorry, Ben. I didn't tell you that I had a drop right here. He said the stuff just doesn't agree with him anymore. He said, "My constitution, my mental makeup, it goes the other way. It speeds up time for him. He's chipped a tooth in his mouth, his front teeth, when he was smoking with Woody Harrelson." He said, "I fell out of a tree on a full moon."
Huh.
"When I get into some of the stuff that Woody smokes."
I don't think climbing trees and doing that is like the best idea.
No. It sounds like it's a dangerous combination. But luckily, he's adult enough to say, "You know, I realize that this is a problem and you shouldn't be having fun with your friend, doing a little substance abuse and then chipping your teeth. That's not good." So he's just going to refrain from that. They'll still hang out and everything. They're just not going to be smoking together anymore.
Probably a good idea.
Probably, yeah. That is what we like to call
Z's sleaze.
You know, you get into winter, January, it just kind of is that time where it feels like we're spinning our wheels. We don't see the sun for days at a time. It's just gray, blah. Like stores have already set out stuff for Valentine's Day, which is great, but that's February.
Yeah.
It's miles away, right? We need something to celebrate right here, right now.
Give us some light.
Yes. You know what? We have lots of light. Why not take January and make it a January celebration? That is what the Morning Scramble is aiming to do. We want to celebrate January, and we're like, Jan, like Coach Jan Jensen. She gets us fired up, right? Iowa women's basketball coach. We've actually scored some tickets to enjoy some Iowa women's basketball, specifically the Sunday, January 25th game at Carver Hawkeye Arena. That's going to be the Ohio State Stripe the Arena game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to look cool. It's going to be super fun. And we've got three pairs of tickets up for grabs. And it could not be easier. All you have to do is go to KZIA.com, sign up, say, "I'd love to win." We're going to select the three winners. They're going to get the seats. They're going to get some goodies from Hertin & Stocker Jewelers.
Ooh.
Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, by the way, fantastic Hawkeye jewelry selection. If you've never checked it out, definitely recommend. But those winners are going to get some fantastic Hertin and Stocker Hawkeye jewelry. And then one person is going to be like the grand prize winner.
Okay.
You're going to get a seat upgrade. You're going to get four seats. We're going to put you a little bit closer to the action, too.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't it be great? And it's something that you can look forward to as we go through gray, dreary January. So prove you're a big Jan fan. Go to KZIA.com and say, "Me, I would love to score some Iowa women's basketball tickets. Go to KZIA.com.
Claire and Eric can't agree.
All right.
So it's up to you. It's Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
Welcome to the hallowed halls of radio justice, where we take on the little things that could become big things. Producer Ben?
I can't believe it's time for court already.
I know. I hope that you're ready.
I'm nervous.
As you've served as Bailiff Ben in the past, you've helped us get the results from our jurors, but you have never presided as a radio lawyer.
Who knew I would ever go from Bailiff Ben to Radio Lawyer Ben? Is it interim Radio Lawyer Ben?
It's either interim radio lawyer or I think Eric wanted you to just be like paralegal Ben.
Paralegal.
Yeah. You're just not, you're almost
I'm not
there.
A full lawyer.
You took the baby bar, not the full bar, Ben. Although he did swear you in and it sounded quite official. But I need you to get your best case together because we've been hired by a bride who needs us to deliberate. This case is destination weddings. Are they selfish or are they fun? The bride wrote us and she said that she's getting married and it's going to be a destination wedding and she's received some snark from friends and family. She said, my question, destination weddings, are they selfish or are they fun? I can see that they're sort of inherently selfish because they tend to exclude a lot of people, but like good selfish, the couple is having the wedding that they want, or bad selfish, the couple isn't considering the needs of their guests. I love to hear the opinions of the jury on this matter. Well, bride, we are here to deliberate and to give you some justice. Producer Ben, do you have a firm stance on this?
I'm definitely on the side of do the destination wedding.
It's fun. Okay. I'm going to let you make your case first as a first-time radio lawyer.
Well, first of all, weddings are about you, not about everybody around you. Mm. So you don't have to cater to them. You do what you want, what's going to make you happy for the rest of your life. You're the one that's actually going to remember everything. Everyone else will be like, oh, they got married. That was fun. But like, it actually means something to you. Mm. Of course, destinations are fun and it makes for great photo opportunities when you're there. Like, you don't get those same wedding photos if you do a wedding here at a church or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, better photos.
And some people don't want like a traditional big wedding with all these people watching them. You're not putting on a show for other people. Like some people like that. Some people don't. Mm-hmm. I'm awkward. I don't want to get married in front of 300 people.
Quit looking at me. That's why I'm in radio, says Ben.
So take me to some other location with just immediate family, maybe some like best friends, and cut out all the other people. But if you want to still celebrate with them, you can always have a party later on when you get back. I think it's just better.
Okay. You think destination weddings fun. I say you're wrong. I mean, I think that they are inherently selfish. The bride even admitted it in the case. You do you, but why do I, the guest, have to do it too? It's not fair because, especially if you're invited and you're part of a wedding party.
Mm-hmm.
Usually people getting married are at a younger age and it's like guilt trip express because being a part of a wedding party means so many unexpected costs. You have to buy a special dress, something you have to wear. And now you're going to add a destination on top of it. I got to figure out a hotel stay. I got to get flight plans and then food. I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to have to eat at some point too. There's just costs galore associated with weddings, period. And then you add the destination, and if I have to go as the guest of that wedding, how selfish
I guess
the bride and groom. Did I just talk you into it?
No, I guess there is a difference between like you have to come be in my wedding or whatever and you have to come here versus like, are you okay with coming here? Like, it depends like how forceful they are. Like, is this going to ruin your friendship?
What's the invitation say? Hey, it's RSVP. It's a yes or no. And that's exactly how Jury in a Hurry works. Destination weddings. Are they selfish or are they fun?
They're fun.
You say they're fun. I say they're selfish. What say you, members of the Scramble jury? We need you to deliberate this case for us. Let us know right now. What do you say? Selfish with Claire or fun with producer Ben? Call now.
Who's going to win their case today? Claire or Eric? Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
Hi, Hey, jury in a hurry, what's your verdict? Selfish or fun?
I'd say it's fun. I'm with Ben.
Oh,
awesome.
Vote for Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, juror.
Yeah.
Jury in a hurry, are you saying destination weddings selfish or fun?
Fun. Have the party when you get back.
Okay, there's a solution. Thank you very much, juror. Jury in a hurry, destination weddings, do you think they're selfish or do you think they're fun?
I think it's very situational. However, like if you have kids and stuff like that, I think that it's, you should be doing that. But I really don't think it's selfish. I think you should do what you want to do.
Okay, that's another vote for producer Ben. Thank you very much, juror. Jury in a hurry, destination weddings, are they selfish or are they fun?
They're fun. Just let the bride and groom do what they want.
Okay, thank you. That is another vote for producer Ben. Jury in a hurry, what say you? Destination weddings, selfish or fun?
I say fun. With technology, if people can't afford to go, they can do FaceTiming, they can do Live Link.
Oh, so like they don't have to go.
But a wedding is between a man and a woman. Yeah. Or a man and a man, or a woman, whoever the couple are.
Whatever. We're not debating that. Okay. Thank you very much, juror.
Thanks.
Jury in a hurry, what say you? Destination weddings, are you thinking they're selfish or are they just fun?
They're fun. I'm with Ben. It's all about the bride and the groom. If people don't want to come, they can decline.
Is there anybody who's going to agree with me at this point? Thank you, juror. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
This is ridiculous, Ben. Your first time out and you're just, you're wiping the floor with me. I'm embarrassed. Z102.9, jury in a hurry, destination weddings, do you think they're selfish or they're fun?
My daughter thinks it's fun. I think it's selfish.
Oh, okay. Well, with that fun, thank you for giving me one selfish vote. Producer Ben, congratulations to you on your first ever radio court case. You have won.
Thank you very much. I knew I could do it.
Destination weddings, apparently.
Take that destination wedding.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Ben.
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble
on Z102.9.
Getting so excited about an experience that you can have coming up this February 10th at the Paramount Theater. Teresa Caputo live, the experience. And we actually have a live phone call with Teresa Caputo. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. How are you?
We're fantastic. Now, Teresa, we've got a little bit of an interesting situation here. My co-host, Danson Eric Hansen, is coming to us live from Puerto Rico. You're in Long Island. I'm in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where you're going to be in just a few short weeks.
I am, and I am so excited.
We're thrilled to have you. We can't wait. I've actually seen you live before, and it's an incredible experience. As a medium, if people don't know exactly what it is you do, can you kind of explain what a medium is?
Sure. So I have the ability to communicate with people that have died. I know that sounds crazy, and trust me, I'm the first one to say that's crazy. But the thing that is amazing is that I talk about things that nobody else would know about. And the experience isn't about people believing in mediums. I want everyone to believe in themselves and afterlife, but more importantly, that the things that they sense and feel that remind them of their loved one that has died, know that that is their soul reaching out and reminding us that they are with us, but just in a different way.
That's
Teresa,
incredible.
I've been so inspired reading a little bit more about you getting ready for our conversation today. My understanding is you first realized you had this gift when you were 4. Do you remember that moment like it was yesterday?
Oh, yes. I can remember it so vividly. I remember a woman standing at the end of my bed so vividly. And I didn't find out until I was almost 30 that it was my great-grandmother, that she's the one that would watch over me.
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, as a 4-year-old, that is probably a little bit confusing. So,
oh yeah, I used to wake up with blood curdling screams. My mom would say I would be terrified walking into your bedroom because I was. They were just blood curdling screams that something horrific had happened to me. And that's the way I grew up as a child because that's how I dealt with it when I would sense and feel the souls.
As you go on and you grow up, you kind of understand. A little bit more about this gift that you have actually, right? Because you're able to make connections for people.
Yeah, different periods of my life, I experienced different things, but still at that point didn't realize like what was exactly happening. And it wasn't until I was almost 30 that I discovered that not only I had the ability to connect with my own departed loved ones, but everyone else's. And then I was struggling with my gift because I am a practicing Catholic. and I couldn't understand why would God bless me with this gift, then who's going to want to come and speak to a medium and speak to their loved ones that have died? I couldn't understand that. But I had a spiritual experience after 9/11. And then I put my gift in God's hands and I said, if this is my soul's journey, open the doors and I will walk through them with my gift. But I only want to use my gift to help people, to be able to heal and to move on after the loss of a loved one.
Which is exactly what we've seen you do on TV. I've watched your show. And then like the last time you were in Cedar Rapids, actually, I remember there had been a story on the news of this family that had lost a child, and you were able to connect that family with their loved ones and actually provide a lot of healing, it felt like, for the family, for everybody who had kind of some background information of that accident that happened.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
See,
I mean, I wouldn't remember, but because I don't remember what I channel.
It was incredible because like we kind of had some base loose knowledge of that terrible accident taking place, but that, you know, anybody can understand the loss of a child, what a terrible, devastating thing for a family to go through. But I think your gift is that you're able to provide some healing for people.
Yeah, because, you know, this is the other thing. There are a lot of common things maybe about the way someone might pass or the way someone might feel. But the interesting thing about how I have Spirit Channel is they always have to validate it with unique things to that person. So Spirit will talk about things that there's no way nobody else would know about. They'll talk about things that happened in the past, things that happened after they died. They'll literally talk about how we're feeling in that exact moment. And it just goes to show that there's no way that I would know these things. And if your loved ones know those things, then they hear us say goodbye, but more importantly, that their souls are safe and at peace.
Mm. Well, I know we're in for a treat when you come to Cedar Rapids in February, Teresa, but something else you talk about too is the universe. You know, we all talk about the universe sends people messages. We don't have to be mediums. Sometimes the universe is reaching out to us. What would be your advice for those of us who maybe sense things? How do we better channel and pay attention to what the universe is offering? And do you know who is actually talking to us?
Just know that what you experience, take it as a sign of something positive. Because I always say that the universe reaches out to help us and to just embrace it and to look at things in a positive way. And whatever it is that you can connect with in that moment or whatever that meaning is for you, know that that's your message. That's your sign. And nobody can really tell us how to connect. You know that from your own experience.
Teresa, our producer, Ben, is a huge fan. He's actually seen your show twice.
Twice in Iowa,
excuse me. And we thought we'd let him ask a question as well.
Oh, sure. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
As you come to my show, I'd love to invite you to the show, and then I could maybe meet you in person.
That would be great.
You would love that.
Yeah.
Well, as someone who doesn't like understand the feelings that you receive, how do you know that someone's trying to get through to you? Do you get like physical, like full body feelings, or do you just get like an instant message to your brain? Like, how exactly does that kind of work?
It depends. Sometimes I just get a feeling. Are you asking that for me, but are you also asking for yourself?
I'm kind of asking for somebody else, but also for you.
Oh, okay. Because I felt like it wasn't just for me, the question. And I don't know why I said that to you. But, you know, this is the thing. Sometimes when I channel someone, I'll feel like a mother energy or I'll feel a father energy. Sometimes the soul will just make me feel and bring me through their departure. Sometimes I'll just get a pain in my stomach. It's different, but it's also, I think, because I've been doing this for almost 25 years that it's literally just second nature to me now. It always has been, but now I know the meanings and I understand what Spirit is trying to tell me. But also if I don't understand, like if I say something to someone and they don't understand it, it just has a different meaning for that person.
So, Teresa, my question for you is, you've got this live show, this tour, which is coming to the Paramount Theater coming up on February 10th. Tickets, by the way, at artsiowa.com. Why a tour? Why are you on the road sharing this experience with people?
Because to be able to help people in person to actually see. There's something amazing about being in a theater, in a space, and feeling the peace and love and the healing, and to watch someone, a perfect stranger, or maybe even one of your own family members, heal right in front of your eyes is something truly incredible. Mm. And if I believe it said Ben was the producer, he's been to the live show. I mean, he can probably speak for himself, and to watch it is just something truly incredible. And you get so much out of it for your own healing, or it might not be exactly what happened to your loved one, but you might be feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. And then the messages that you hear for that person, that gives you the ability to place it in your healing process.
That makes total sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Teresa, I love that you've got a gift, but you're also giving a gift not only to the audience if they're in person. You also have been an author on TV. You've got a podcast now as well. Is that where you channel a lot of your energy when you're not touring on the road, on your podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I did the podcast during, COVID, because I felt that people needed to experience my ability more than ever during that time, because people needed faith and hope at that time. And we've just continued it and trying to do different things now with the podcast as well, but really just focusing on touring and bringing the show all over the country.
Experience the show for yourself. Tickets available for Teresa Caputo Live, The Experience at the Paramount Theater, coming up on February 10th. Tickets available at artsiowa.com.
Yes, and I hope you guys will check out the show. I'd love to invite
Absolutely.
You as a guest.
Of
so
course.
Again, you can experience it yourself.
Thank you so much, Teresa Caputo.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.